Amen. Tremendous. And what an encouragement, an exciting thing it is that God wants the whole world to know Him, and this thing of missions isn't just something that is a side issue. It's not just a little addendum to the local church, but it's the heartbeat of God. And I always appreciate that passage in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, that was taken from. I guess there's a couple verses in there that could be referencing. Thank you, church. You folks are our church home, and thank you for everything that you have done, not just while we've been on deputation, but getting us to this point, yes, going all the way back to 2003, and when I first came to Bible College, and even various ones that were here then, that Lord has since moved on elsewhere, but God uses the local church to grow His believers, to grow individuals, and it's there's almost not words to express what this church has done, and everything going back to those who have allowed me to assist in a ministry when I was in college with Spanish church and Sunday schools and helping in vacation Bible schools, and those who let me help with picking up chairs and teaching me some things about hard work, and those who went on door knocking and visitation with me, and various ones that I've learned much from. Thank you, Pastor Surrett. Thank you, Pastor Ogle. We are excited about what God's called us to, and there may be some new faces remind me again, what is it that for sure that you're doing? God has called my wife and me. This is my wife, Kristen. And I introduced her at other churches, but I guess maybe it wouldn't hurt just to say that here. Praise the Lord for my wife, and what an asset, and what an encouragement, and what a helpmeet, and what a blessing, and a teammate and a friend that she's been. And we're excited about moving to New York City, and now that's just a couple days away. And why? Because of the masses of New York City, the millions in New York City. Well, yes. But even more specifically, God has called us to the Muslim mission field. The Muslims are a mission field that's come here to our shores and to our cities, and what an opportunity we have to get the gospel to them. We often ask, isn't it difficult or isn't it dangerous, are terms that I've heard, that are questions we've been asked. But I think there's a better word to focus on, and that's, isn't it an opportunity? As people are coming here to our country, and we can get the gospel to them, is it impossible for folks to go overseas? Absolutely not. And if God burdens your heart, or the heart of your children or grandchildren or others that you know, to head to North Korea or Saudi Arabia or Yemen or some of the most difficult, darkest regions of the world, don't let anybody tell them it's a closed country and can't be done. But at the same time, God has really encouraged us with the opportunities that abound right here among us. And so we're excited about moving to New York City. At this time, we're going to share the video. Pastor suggested maybe we should share our missions video that we share on deputation all the time. Many in the church may have not seen it because it was towards the beginning of deputation that we shared that here. And we've actually updated a couple things in the video since then anyway. So if we could, is it possible we could share that at this time? Okay, that's perfectly fine. I thought I had emailed it, and I should have double checked if I sent that to the right place. But that is totally fine. If anybody would like to watch our video, no, not one problem. I can't just hold up a QR code for you to scan or something real fast. But if you go to if you see me afterwards, it was on our website. It still is on our website, but we've changed our website. To instead of targeting pastors, we're now focused on our website being for our mission field. And so our homepage of our mission field says, if you'd like a Bible in your language, let me know, and we'd like to come to your front door and hand deliver this to you. So our video about how that we're coming to convert their children to a different religion may seem a bit intimidating, right? And so not because we're scared for safety or security measures. We're here in the United States. We're not going to get a visa revoked or something like some folks who are working overseas. But just because of just the practical nature of ministry, that we don't want to seem like we're targeting them. And so, we can give you the link to that, and you can watch that on your phone or device. Would like to recap, though. The Lord has narrowed our focus a little bit as to what we're going to be doing when we get into the city. And are we going to be starting Afghan Baptist Church, or just what is it that we're doing? Well, our burden, and we've discussed this with Pastor, and he shares this burden too, that not that we create an enclave of ex-Muslims. Our burden isn't that we would have just a church that's strictly one specific people group, but rather that the Muslims would come to Christ, the various immigrants would come to Christ, be baptized, be discipled in a local church, and be established in a body where they can be grounded, where they can be discipled, where they can be welcomed into a body of Christ. And so we're going to be working with Heritage Baptist Church, which is right in Manhattan. We're going to be living in Queens in an Afghan neighborhood, but Manhattan is the crossroads of New York City. It's where the action is. It's where the most tourists come. It's where the money is. It's where the biggest skyscrapers are. And that's where a lot of the transportation hubs all converge. And so it's a perfect spot for a very multicultural church, and for folks that attend the church come from all five boroughs, some even from New Jersey. And we're excited about working with them and with Pastor Recker in seeing folks get saved, added to the church, and evangelism, and praying that as the Lord leads, that someday down the road, sure, we would like to see a church. We'd like to see multiple churches be established down the road as the Lord leads. Our burden, I've summed this up to say that I dream of not so much a ministry, an Arab ministry or an Afghan ministry, a Bengali ministry among these different language groups, because the church is to be a unified body. The church is without division, without schism. And so our burden is, I dream of Mexicans and Chinese and Arabs and Indians and Bangladeshis and Afghans and Pakistanis and Iranians and whoever else sitting together in the same church service with an earphone in their ear with maybe somebody from their own language interpreting for them. If we don't have that yet, I can't learn every language and interpret for everybody at once. But if we don't get to that point, then in the meantime, there is technology today that we can have translation for them with their smartphone and with earphones in their ears. In this sense, the whole body coming together is somewhat reminiscent of, as was mentioned in that one verse of that song, every tribe and every tongue before the throne of God. What an opportunity we have to experience a taste of that in New York City. Queens, New York is the most linguistically and ethnically diverse urban area in the entire world. And there's more languages spoken there than any other city in the country or in any other city in the world. And about half of Queens are foreign-born, close to it. It fluctuates year to year, but close to half of Queens are foreign-born. Evangelist Larry Clayton has said that if New York City was an island out in the middle of some ocean, that with all of the languages spoken there and with the diversity of people that are there and with the diversity of religions and the liberal lostness of New York City, well, we would be sending missionaries there by the scores or by the hundreds. And so pray for us. what we're going to be doing day to day, I'd like to back up to that. I started to mention that. We're excited about establishing a community center where we can teach English, help people gain help people finish their high school certification, and help people with maybe computer literacy, some of the other needs of the immigrants, because that's the main purpose of missions? No, but as a means to communicating the gospel. We don't believe in friendship evangelism, the idea that you just befriend people and wait for that golden moment to just show up by itself when you can speak of Jesus. But on the other hand, it's great to pass out gospel tracts. It's great to have to street preaching and have the popcorn approach of handing out the gospel all at once to a crowd of people. But it's also wonderful to be able to have continued, repeated connection with the people that we're called to minister to. And so the first year or so that we're up there, we will be gaining certification in teaching English, Lord willing, through a program called Kelta that Cambridge puts together. It's a very quality certification that I think is important, as we are not the first people to try to teach English in New York City. There are multiple places that do that. And it would be good to have a quality certification and then volunteer at some of the immigrant refugee centers that are in the New York City metro area, and to help us find what are some of the needs of the immigrants. There are various opportunities for volunteering, teaching English before we establish our own community center, get some experience, and then as we have our own place, pray for us too about the cost, not just of now of lodging, but also the cost of acquiring a storefront where we would be able to have people in on a regular basis throughout the week. And then my wife also involved. She often gets asked what's going to be her role as a missionary wife among the Muslims. A lot of this is being patterned after a similar community center that was done up in Dearborn. And they found that they're able to minister to the ladies by having only lady instructors certain times of the week, a couple times, because some of the men don't want their women attending a co-ed class. And so even especially with that, my wife will have quite involvement there. Then a second thing is the college campus outreach opportunities. With Queens College right in our backyard, and NYU and Columbia University and countless other technical schools and institutions of higher learning, what an opportunity to get the gospel to young people who are coming to America looking for a better life, looking for hope, and looking for opportunity. Let's introduce them to opportunity in Jesus Christ, to hope in Him, and to new life in Him, especially as they are separated from their family, separated from their culture for a few years. And we can establish Bible studies on campus through the platform of Collegians for Christ. Are you familiar with that, Pastor, with Brother Kyle Austin, Collegians for Christ, a little bit? It's an independent Baptist organization, which is refreshing, as there's numerous others that have done this for decades. Campus Crusade and Navigators and numerous others, and praise the Lord for what they've accomplished. But there is one that's a little bit more similar to our background that helps local churches find a foothold on in a college campus and establish recognized by the student body a official student organization where we can have regular Bible studies. Oh, wait a minute, isn't that illegal? Are we really allowed to do that? Well, those are sometimes the similar questions that or fears that we may have about, well, are you really supposed to, you know, talk to Muslims out in public? Are there dangers about that? And we can have all the fears that the devil wants to put in front of us, but the Lord's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we still have a First Amendment, and we still have a Great Commission. And with the Great Commission as our authority, and with the First Amendment as an encouragement bonus to go along with that, it's not against the law to share the gospel on a college campus. Private colleges do have a little bit more stipulations, a little bit more rights for them to say what they want to say, as there's some that are maybe Catholic background or some other different private colleges. But a public college, in fact, most public colleges across the United States have a Muslim Students Association on campus. And so they have their organization. We should also have Bible studies. Pray with us that as we get situated, settled in New York City, finish our deputation, gain certification in teaching English, and begin involvement in these in the people's lives, that God will use us and will bear fruit. I asked my wife just to come briefly and share just a quick testimony of some of the things that God has done for us on deputation.
I think sometimes there's misconceptions about deputation. I think sometimes there's misconceptions about deputation because you hear or maybe heard terrible stories about things and what the missionaries go through and how terrible it is and all of this. And we've been on deputation since Timmy was a very little baby. And we have been thinking back and recapping everything, and all we keep coming back to is how good the Lord has been through all of this. We have no terror stories, no terrible things to share, maybe some funny things along the way, but honestly, that's just our family, probably not as much deputation necessarily. But one thing we keep coming back to is how the Lord has specifically answered prayer time and time and time again. And as we were thinking through and listing these out, it almost amazed us how specifically and how many times, and why are we surprised by that? But it's just encouragement as we go out to go to New York, knowing that what we're praying for there, He will answer specifically how His plan is and what He has for us, because we've seen Him answer over and over again. Just specifically, even before we started deputation, praying about visiting in the first place up in New York. We've read all these things. Are there really Muslims up there? Are there really Afghans up there and all that? And how the Lord specifically answered prayer just in that first trip. Like, they're everywhere and they're all together and we can find them. And the Lord directed our path so many ways. Just that first, I don't know, 2 weeks that we were up there. I can't remember how long that first trip was. And then we were praying when to go full-time deputation. When do you know when to quit your secular job? And how do you know that the Lord is going to take care of you? But specifically, the Lord answered that prayer by a church inviting us to Washington State for a missions conference. He didn't have that much time off, so we're like, this must be the Lord flinging the door open for us to go full time. And how neat that trip was, that first, we were out there almost 2 months, I think, and the beginning of deputation right there, and the Lord has continued to take care of us. He quit His job so early by people's standards, like, oh, you know, when should you quit or whatever. And while we were out there, we went from a tiny little car here, and since we flew out there, we got to borrow this Suburban the size of Pastor Mrs. Ogle's. We were so spoiled with a new baby, and we started praying, Lord, I think we really need a van, like, this is a big thing. We're praying specifically and looking at prices. Vans are expensive. And we got a call when we were out there of a pastor who was giving his van away and wanted to give it to a missionary and needed to get a new one. And it was amazing, working perfectly. And we were in awe of the Lord specifically answering that prayer for that vehicle that we needed, and that's the van we have out there right now. A couple years later, that van had some transmission or engine or I don't know, a few things under the hood, and praying about, do we need a new one? Do we fix this one? And got some good counsel from some people and prayed, and the Lord brought in the money for that, specifically a large gift from you all and some other supporting churches. And we know you all are praying for us too. So it's not just our prayers, it's you all praying for us too. And so that van is still running, still going. It's gonna get us to New York for sure, and then we can walk up there, right? But it's amazing to see how the Lord has done that time and time again. And then the end of December, we went back up to New York. He mentioned that in the video briefly, but praying specifically where to move in the city, because it had been a couple years before that we had first visited. And anyway, the Lord, we went to the spot that we
thought we had been thinking, and it was full of Chinese and Koreans. We're like, this isn't exactly what we were thinking. What, you know, is the Lord really directing us in this spot? And then I think it was the next day, we were really like pouring over in prayer, and the next day we found this multiple mosques and all these stores, and we're like, well, they're here. Just they moved over a couple blocks since the last time we were here. And seeing how we had sat down and specifically were praying about this, and the Lord answered, you said briefly, I'm sorry, I'm almost done. Then that was December of 2019. A couple months later, we hit what everyone, you know, the thing that shall not be named. But seriously, though, we were in the middle of a full schedule up in Virginia Beach waiting. Like, we thought a couple weeks, we're going to wait. We want to get back across the border to Canada. That's where we were supposed to be next. You know, Canada's still not open. Poor Canada. Anyway, and even though that looks like a difficult situation to most people, we came home, got to do things down here, started some stuff in the house and whatever. But I remember we specifically sat down and were praying over all of our supporting churches, over all the meetings that we had ever had in the past, right before we left, I think, April, May maybe. Just praying for these churches and praying for our upcoming meetings and all of this. And the Lord took that year and raised our support 25%. In the year of 2020, our support went up 25%. And we know churches were praying for us, you all were praying for us, we were praying specifically for the Lord to show us where we're going next and different things for meetings and to open up these meetings and everything, and answered in an amazing way that blew us to the point that here we are, May of 2021, and we're ready to move. Like, that just blows our mind that we felt like we were stuck, and then he just pushed us through and brought all this. And a couple months ago when we had revival, Brother Tozer, he preached that message too about a table in the wilderness and how the Lord will take care of you. And we've seen this, obviously. And the next big thing was, where are we going to live? How are we going to find a house? Housing is expensive to the point that you can't even comprehend how expensive it is. He mentioned a church that was given like $90,000 or something for this big old brick building. That wouldn't even be a down payment for a house in New York, you know? Anyway, so we were in tears pouring, well, I was, I don't know if you were, but anyway, we were pouring over the home situation, and we have to live up there, and we're ready to move, but where are we gonna move? And we went up there just for a quick little visit with a family up in the Bronx, and he's like, why don't you guys go down and just look and see? The Lord may open up something. We're like, in 2 days, okay. And the Lord took us to the perfect place that I could go on and on about the specifics of the place, but we can start, there's a spot specifically that we could have in the home before we open up the community center that we can have people in our home, that it's not going to feel all squashed like we're in a closet. It's big and open right there in that spot, and thing after thing after thing. And that's just what I wanted to mention. The whole deputation conclusion, the Lord has answered prayer over and over again. He answered prayer taking us up there specifically over and over again. And we know he's going to in the future too.
Amen.
Thank you for your prayers for us. We appreciate it.
We love you. We love you as a church family, and you folks have been encouragement to us. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to glean what you want us to from this passage. In Christ's name, amen. If I was going to title this message, I'd title it Doing the Work with All Your Strength. Or we could title it Doing Missions with All Your Strength. And the takeaway thought is you must be strong in multiplying the gospel message of the grace of Jesus Christ. You must be strong. Now, why do we say we must be strong? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2 begins, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Strong in God's grace. Strong because of God's grace. Strong in exercising God's grace. There's several different aspects and angles we can look at that. And then specifically, when we're talking about the grace of Christ, well, not just that God is good, gives us grace, and God's been good and gracious to us, but in the context of chapter 1, and then in the context here of the very next verse, we're talking about the gospel and missions going forward. So let us be strong in evangelism and missions. As we study historical fundamentalism, we can look back at the 1970s and 80s and hear about the great Christian school movement. We hear about the massive growth of many independent Baptist churches active in soul winning and bus routes. Men who lived in that era have spoken of the great things that God did, but have also warned about the dangers of measuring our results on numbers. Our growth must be spiritual and not simply physical or numerical. We must measure our success not on externals, lest we boast in the flesh. And so we measure our success by our faithfulness. This is wonderful. This is wise. This is biblical counsel. Paul discusses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is biblical. Yet there's often a tendency among young Christians, myself included sometimes, that we hear an admonition and they have wise biblical counsel, and so then we can go off to the extreme. We want to be balanced, and so wise people say, hey, let's not fall into this, and so we say, okay, well, let's go over here then. And so there's a tendency to hear an admonition against a danger and run to the opposite extreme. Too much sugar is bad for a person, but it is medically possible for a person's blood sugar levels to be out of whack too low. So we don't want to focus on numbers. And we're admonished against pride. What is the opposite reaction? How about apathy, lethargy, laziness in the work of God? Are we tempted to say, God knows my heart and that's what matters? Or it's not about results, it's about my faithfulness, so I'm sure I'm doing enough. Yet what did Paul tell Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2? He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And this is a wonderful verse. It's a challenging verse. It's an exciting verse, thinking about Paul teaching Timothy and Timothy remembering the things he heard from Paul and teaching them to others. That's a third generation who would be able to teach others also. That's four generations. And then, well, if we've got that going on, undoubtedly the implication is it never stops, right? Multiplication, not just adding to the church as it started, but multiplying and exponential growth. And these are great things, great thoughts. And it's exciting to ponder. It's interesting, Paul doesn't give all of the specifics here as to how to do all of that. He just says, be strong and do it. And so I'm not going to, especially as I spent a while testifying, I'm not going to pontificate on the all of the correct or best or most effective ways of soul winning and evangelism and discipleship. God uses different people in different manners, and God uses various ministries of street preaching and public fair ministries, and God uses door-to-door. God uses personal conversation, personal evangelism. God uses people that get to know their neighbor, people that develop a hobby on purpose so that they can have an outlet to be able to engage with the lost world around them, people that get a particular job, a particular enter into a particular career so they can bump shoulders with people. And all of these are various avenues, inviting folks to church, handing out gospel tracts. I've heard some people say, well, if you just hand out a gospel tract, that's not real witnessing, because, I mean, that anybody can do that. God uses all avenues of sharing the gospel and sharing His word. But the exhortation here that we're focusing on is at the beginning of the chapter, it says, be strong. Our strength in grace, which comes from Christ Jesus. The exhortation is to be strong. We're to be strong in exercising the grace of Christ. We are to be strong by the power of the grace of Christ. It's interesting that when the Great Commission was given, the Lord told us that all power is given to Him. And And so he says, go ye into all the world. He in between Acts and the Gospels, we are given both the power of the force of that we need, the strength that we need. We're also given the authority that we need. And so we have all power to share the gospel. Why be strong? Because of this work of missions, as we read in verse 2, the grace of Christ is a message to multiply to among others. The fact is, there is a reason for evangelism. The purpose is that men would mature to the point of spiritual reproduction and that the gospel would multiply exponentially. God's mission program is not fulfilled when you and I are a salt and a light and a speak of Christ every once in a while. God's mission program is not fulfilled in my life because I finish deputation and begin living in my mission field. God's mission program is not fulfilled in your life because you have successfully commissioned another missionary to go to his field. Rather, we must be active. We must be bold. We must create gospel conversations. Praise the Lord for Vacation Bible School coming up and the opportunities that abound there with reaching young people and then even the possibilities of reaching their parents and reaching our community. Amen. We must be active and bold and creating gospel conversations. Sometimes, though, we fail in communication of the gospel. But we grow and we learn how to communicate more and more effectively. Then we come back together as a church family. Why? To provoke one another to love and to good works. Our past failures must not be an excuse. Our past successes in missions must not be a climax of accomplishment. We must press onward in evangelizing the lost and encouraging them to be faithful as we model faithfulness and helping them to learn to teach others also this gospel message. Every sermon should have some great illustrations. If you're a young preacher boy or a Sunday school teacher or a master clubs worker or a parent or anybody who ever talks to anybody, then don't you dare let the Word of God become boring because it's not boring. Let's use illustrations. Dwight Smith one time said that an illustration isn't like the sunshine, but it's like a window that helps the sunshine of God's Word penetrate a cold, dark room. I really appreciated that illustration just because it kind of worked with my mind because he was given an illustration about an illustration. I thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, this passage is such a blessing because I don't even need to look time. We don't need to take time to use an illustration outside of the Bible. There's three illustrations that I'm just going to mention. For the sake of time, we're just going to mention these. And then be encouraged to be strong in multiplying the gospel in the context of your life as God gives you opportunities and as God gives us opportunities in New York City. First of all, it says to be strong in multiplying the gospel as a soldier endures hardness. Verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm curious how many here have served in our military? There's several. Yes, several in the number. And thank you for your service. Did you always get to set your own schedule? Do whatever you wanted? You have off time, and that's your time to do your recreational activities, but there's still things even on your off time that you still have some regulations. And no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You're serving a commander when you're in the military. Maybe you have to do some hard things. I've heard boot camp isn't just a cup of tea. It's a job to get through. But then boot camp's just the start of it. You still have hard things to do throughout the military service. Would our captain expect us to be a soldier doing hard things? Another soldier who had hard things and needed to not be afraid, we could go back to another Bible illustration, was Joshua. He was the new commander-in-chief and captain of the armies of Israel for conquering the land of Israel. And the Lord had to remind him, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua had to step up, be a leader, be the commander, commander of militaries, of the militaries of Israel, but he was encouraged to not be afraid. Use boldness, which came from what? From the Word of God, Joshua 1:8. So let's stay in the Word of God for our strength, for our courage, for boldness. I hope children understand what they're singing when they sing, I'm in the Lord's army. Sometimes they're knocking down each other and doing all their things and saluting and stuff, and I hope they're understanding it. We also sing, as adults, we sing Onward Christian Soldiers, marching off to where? To vacation? To National Park? No, marching off to war. And so are we hoping for an easy, comfortable life above all else? I'm not opposed to having a nice apartment for my family and to be able to have people come in. And we just bought some new curtains and we're getting some bookshelves. And it's not a sin to have a couple nice things. If God someday provides even a nicer van than what we have, I won't say no. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm gonna just try to. No, if God provides, it's not a sin to have money. The Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. But where's our focus? Is our focus on things, on ease, on comfort, or are we a soldier of the King of Kings? Ephesians 6 tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Then verse 5 says, and if a man also, I'm sorry, verse 4. No, yes, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Masteries, the discussion here, this is an old term that's referring to an athlete. Striving for the competition to win the prize, be the best runner, or do the best hurdle throwing and the best jump, whatever it is in the Olympics or in the games, in sports, an athlete. And what's the lesson here? How are we to be strong as an athlete? No cutting corners or cheating. An athlete could say, "Well, I could run this marathon. It's 26 miles, but you know, if I just skip this loop, I could cut through here." No, be strong as an athlete and do the race as it's laid out. Cutting corners. Sometimes there's a corner called easy believism or pray a prayerism. Hey, if we can just get as many people saved to pray a prayer, we can put down numbers that they had this many got saved, and it'll make our prayer letters better, or it'll make me feel like I'm a better Christian. Do we change the gospel to not be so confrontational? This is more and more a temptation as the woke crowd tries to tell us that the gospel is hateful or bigoted or narrow-minded or Islamophobic or homophobic or intolerant. No, we don't need to change the gospel, cutting corners in this way. We don't need to be hateful, but at the same time, we'll let the Word of God stand for what it is, and we don't need to apologize for it. Then a third illustration here was the husbandman that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruits. The emphasis here in both the order of the Greek words and also the emphasis from the context of the passage is that it's the working farmer, the one who labors, the working farmer is the one who's going to first expect to see any fruit. It's like Proverbs 10:5 tells us, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, Proverbs 19:15 tells us, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. If we're laboring in the harvest fields of the Lord, let's not get lazy. Brother George Husney was giving us some advice out in Boulder, Colorado about how hard it is to see Muslims come to Christ. He said that the issue isn't that they are hard to evangelize, but in how much seed we are sowing. If the fields are white unto harvest, and they are, yet the Bible also says that wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, then how will we see fruit? We sow the seed bountifully as the sower who sowed seed on multiple grounds. A person can get discouraged that they shared the gospel and have not seen any fruit. Is the problem with the gospel, Brother Husney asked us? Or is the problem with Holy Spirit conviction? Or are we not willing to keep sowing and keep growing in our effective communication of the glorious good news? Let's not stop. Let's not be discouraged. Let's keep sharing more and more. Let us not be weary in well-doing, Galatians says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now maybe you're here today and need some explanation about what this gospel message is that's so important for us to pass on to one generation and another. If you're lost and have never been born again, you need this gospel message, and that message is that Jesus Christ died for you. It says in verse 10, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. verse 10, yes, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died and that he rose again. This is the gospel message, and that we can have eternal life if you will trust him, if you will ask him to be your Savior. You can become a child of God. You can be born again into his family. Christian, what has been your attitude about the Great Commission? Would you say, I'm good enough, you know, with a casual shrug? It's not about the numbers, so, you know, I do some things for God. Or do you, like Timothy, and even like myself, need to be reminded to not stop and to be strong? May we press onward for our Lord. Pastor, if you'll come at this time.